This week in your parents' basement, we're leaping through the streets of Agrabah and dodging lava on our magic carpets. From 1993, we're having a face-off between the Super Nintendo and Genesis versions of Aladdin. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who saved last week's show and Agrabah. It's Huell Hauser.
Oi, 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
And our other co-host, he has all the cosmic powers of the universe in an itty-bitty space. It's Todd Brisket.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Oh, that's all? No?
I won't.
Well, not regaling us with any more of that lovely tune. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, you need to spend all them holiday monies you got. Support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Aladdin. In 1986, a little movie called Aladdin came out. In the flick, a teenager in Miami finds a magic lantern, and out popped a genie when he rubbed it. It starred immortal actors like Bud Spencer, Luca Venatini, and Janet Agron. It has a 5.3 rating on IMDb, so you know it must be good. It came out in January of 1986, so this is the 30-year anniversary of that. There's probably going to be a commemorative VHS put out soon.
I think they're doing something special at the Oscars.
Oh, I hope so.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I like it. Despite this, though, Disney in 1992, they decided to remake the movie with Robin Williams, Gilbert Gottfried, and some other people. It made $504 million and spawned two successful video games for the Super Nintendo and Genesis in 1993. And amazingly, they didn't suck. I nominated this game, but because you did such a great job last week, my sweet baby boy Huell, I want you to start the discussion this week.
Well, first of all, I'm honored. Second of all, I went to honor my past. I went for the Genesis version. I had seemed to hear it was better for some reason, and I do think I remember playing it like at a friend's house or something, but it didn't really stick with me. But I think this is a nice little kid's game. It's a good platformer. It's not like overly hard, but it's at least challenging enough to not be boring. I think it hits the right tone, I think.
Oh, definitely. Did you also get to play the Super Nintendo version, or did you focus mostly on the Genesis?
No, I only did the Genesis one. So you're jumping around, you're Aladdin, you're cutting up baddies, you're throwing apples.
So that's the big difference between the Genesis and Super Nintendo ones are in the Genesis ones. In the Genesis game, you get a sword and you chop up people.
You get a deadly weapon.
You are Aladdin, the Prince of Thieves, or whatever his nom de plume is, and yes. you just chopping up the citizens of Agrabah.
Just laying waste to Agrabah, much like Luke Skywalker in Tatooine.
You really are, because there are you slice into hundreds of the palace guards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only in like the first couple stages. That's before you get to this weird dungeon with skeletons in it and
skeletons with bomb heads, mind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there Sebastian from The Little Mermaid is in there.
Oh, yeah. I think I took a screenshot of Sebastian hanging on the chains in the dungeon.
I thought he was flying up out of the water. Or is that Flounder? It looked like Flounder, the yellow fish.
Yeah, I think there were other characters. I only got a good glimpse of Sebastian. Mm. There are some other ones in there.
I didn't notice him, actually. But I did see some, like, mouse. There's a lot of mouse ear Easter eggs in the background, too.
Oh, that's the Disney trademark.
Mm, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, you know what else? Stick
that little mouse head in everywhere.
You know what else there is in that dungeon level that made me stop playing the game? Those goddamn bats.
The bats.
Oh!
The bats were bad.
Bats.
I have MFing bats as a note. Because, yes, yeah, bats are back.
My note said, goddamn bats.
There were some of the worst ones. Because they would spin around in circles, they'd fly in weird patterns. And
yeah, and
I found if you held up and slashed, you would kind of slash upwards a bit.
Yeah, I think
and like
that's
kind of
the trick. To,
yeah, kind of around you.
They can just fly into you while you're slashing that way.
Mm-hmm. But you can't really spam it. You have to time it well to keep it going. I learned.
Oh, yeah. And, well, the problem with that stage is the background is this weird light blue color. And, like, the bats especially, they just kind of blend in. Like, I couldn't see them.
You don't notice until they're on top of you.
And it's too late, like, fear and loathing.
Yeah.
Very much so.
The only video game with worse bats is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
But that the cave, I did beat the cave, but that's about as far as I made it. I got the gist of it.
You never played. You said you didn't really play this as a child.
No, I didn't have it. Shockingly, as a licensed game for the Genesis, no, I did not own it. Yeah. But I think I played it once.
Well, you didn't.
What's that?
Oh, Huel, you probably didn't have this because it was a good license game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That does explain a lot, yeah.
His parents were looking at the list and they saw, "Oh, this is rated higher than 50%."
Checked
my boy.
Yeah. Game Informer or what was the magazine back then?
Game Pro.
Yeah. Like, "Huh. This is above a 4, so I don't know."
Yeah, they saw
it's too challenging for Sweet Baby Boy.
They saw that the Ninja Critic had given it a thumbs up. And they were like, "Nope, that won't do. That won't make Huel into the man he needs to be."
Oh no,
Brisket. I had the Super Nintendo version as a kid. Well, I think it was. I don't know if we owned it, but we definitely rented it a bunch. And this was a game that my little sister was better than me at. She could beat this game like blindfolded, and I could beat it, but it was. It was not as easy for me.
I feel like I've heard that before in a few games. Oh, that she was better than you.
That my sister was better?
Yeah.
It's weird. My sister was actually a pretty decent athlete until her early teens. So she was probably just probably better at me for that reason, even though she didn't really play a ton of video games growing up. So,
well, as we know, video games would require high athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They require,
does explain a lot.
They require like decent hand-eye coordination and vision, and I had neither. So, like I was bad at both. I think that's why I gravitated toward them RPGs and number games.
Mm-hmm. Slow the pace down.
Yeah, exactly. Much like the 1990s Cavaliers and the 1980s Bad Boy Pistons. I need to just slow the game down to. Oh, and by the way, that is also why, like, I easily got through the first couple stages in the Super Nintendo Aladdin when I was replaying it this week. In the Genesis version, I barely got to the cave of, not the Cave of Wonders, but the first stage.
The dungeon. With
yeah, the dungeon.
Oh, right. So in the Super Nintendo one, how do you attack? Do you only have apples or do you have something else?
This is awesome in the Super Nintendo one. And this is the biggest difference between the Genesis and the Super Nintendo one. In the Genesis, you have your sword, you're slashing, you're murdering countless citizens. In the Super Nintendo one, you do pole vaults on people.
Whoa.
You jump on their head and he does like a handspring off of them.
Is it similar to the pogo stick in DuckTales? Or no?
Yeah, it is actually, because you're jumping on them and it springs you up a little bit if you hold down the button.
Interesting.
Yeah, it plays almost like a completely different game. It plays like more of a Super Mario platformer where you're jumping on things.
Yeah. The Super Nintendo one, to me, I think this is the first parkour game.
Oh.
Because you can...
Inspired Mirror's Edge.
You can chain your leaps and get higher and do like a flip off a stick. That's poking out of a building, and so like you can hang onto ledges. You can jump up and hang off a ledge and climb up a ledge.
Yeah.
Oh, like rather than like the ropes above you in the Genesis one, you can actually hang off a ledge. Okay.
Yeah, which was disorienting me a little bit in the Genesis one because I kept trying to jump onto ledges and hang off of them, but no, it's kind of like the Uber Uncharted or something. Because Uncharted, you can just hang off of like the side of everything. But
Or Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I've never played any of that series.
What?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, the cool thing about this Aladdin game for Super Nintendo's is that you can look up and see a ledge that's up pretty high. You're like, oh, how am I going to get to that? And then you just jump and grab onto the ledge and climb up.
Oh, that is nice.
It is pretty nice.
In the Genesis one, there's the streets of Agrabah, and you have to find magical flutes that shoot ropes out and float up to the edges.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I will say, as you'd expect, the Super Nintendo version, the graphics are a little bit cleaner and crisper.
Yeah, I would say the style of the Super Nintendo one is a lot better. It's like a Japanese version. It's like an anime version of Aladdin.
Hmm.
Yes. Like
it was made in Japan by Capcom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if the characters are animated a little bit better, they move a bit smoother. The sound is definitely better, but it plays a lot slower.
Is a lot slower. That is the jarring thing, because I played this past week. I played through the entire Genesis game.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out on my Twitch channel or my YouTube channel. Ooh. I played the entire Genesis game, except for I gave up on the Jafar fight. It was too frustrating.
Is that just the last battle, I would assume?
Yeah, I'm guessing it is.
Yeah.
I'll see why not.
But I gave up on that one. And then I jumped straight into the Super Nintendo one, and it's such a change of pace. Like, it's so slow compared to the Genesis one, because you take a little time to get, you know, you're running, a running start, and whenever you stop, you don't stop. You kind of slide and slow down.
Yeah.
And it's just it handles a little differently, so it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo version even has a run button, and running Aladdin is probably it's still probably slower than just normal walking around in the Genesis version.
Right.
Like, that's, I can't describe it. Like, all of the better visuals and animation clearly comes at, you know, it comes at the sake of making the game just slower overall. Like, it's a bit of a trade-off, clearly.
Sure.
By the way, though, when I was legally downloading ROMs for evaluation purposes for this week, there is also a little thing called Aladdin 2 for the Sega Genesis. Now, this is not a sequel to Aladdin, as the name would have you believe. This is the Super Nintendo version ported to the Sega Genesis.
Is a real release, or is it a ROM hack?
This is apparently, like, I tried to poke around on the internet about this. This is not a ROM hack. This is kind of a bootleg by a Taiwanese company. And by the way, it plays horribly. It like the sound is really choppy, and the game just, there is like noticeable slowdown. It is literally like they just took the ROM and ran it through a converter, and now it's on a Genesis game for no real good reason. So
yeah, I don't even know how that's possible. Well, I don't know. They would have to recreate the game. I'm curious to check this out just to see.
Yeah, because to me, there had to have been some programming involved. Like, that's why on the internet there's speculation that, oh, this was a Taiwanese company, this was a Hong Kong company, because they're kind of famous for doing knockoffs of that nature. Like, there's one of, I think there's a Final Fantasy VII for the Nintendo. For the NES out there,
really?
Yeah, which also does a similar, like, really truncated job, and it's supposed to be horrible. But yeah, Aladdin 2 for the Genesis, it is out there.
I'm going to have to check that out.
You are,
you know, maybe if you put in a little bit more time, you might find that is actually the best version of both of these of all three of these games.
Well. The weird thing is it plays it might play a tiny bit faster than the Super Nintendo version. It's just that it only plays faster when there's like nothing on the screen, because otherwise it's just slow down city. It's like those shooter games when the when there's too much junk on the screen.
Yeah,
like that's what the Genesis version. That's what the Genesis version of the Super Nintendo Aladdin is like. Aladdin 2. Good times. And I did read online. There's also allegedly a game called Aladdin 2000, which is the Genesis version ported onto the Super Nintendo. But I was not able to stumble across that one. So I am not sure if that one actually exists or not.
Huh.
Unfortunately. So.
So didn't Aladdin also come out on some other devices?
Apparently, in my research, in my deep, deep story-driven research, it came out on the Game Gear as well.
I'm assuming it's kind of a copy of the Genesis version then.
Yeah, I would assume so. And oh, it also it does look like there's a Game Boy version. But don't quote me on that. Actually, there's a Game Boy Advance version, which is a port of the Super Nintendo Aladdin. But I don't know if there's a Game Boy version. It does not look like there is one actually. To kind of get into the history of the series, Disney's Aladdin, as opposed to the 30th anniversary 1986 version of Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin led to two direct to VHS and DVD sequels back when that was a thing. Surprisingly, the movies both grossed over $100 million, which is a ton of money for those mediums, but only the third had Robin Williams after Disney agreed to pay him $1 million and merchandising rights.
Yeah. So those videos were some of the first. Actually, I think those were the first of the direct to video sequels that Disney did out of all of their movies.
Yeah, which I don't know. That was kind of a thing for them in the 90s. I'm not entirely positive why they did that. Because you would think, like, if they just put, you know, Little Mermaid 2 and Aladdin 2, Jafar's Revenge out in the theaters, I think they would still have made tons and tons of money.
I think it comes down to the marketing costs. And they don't want to besmirch their name. I think they're aware that Aladdin 2 is they're going. I think they're going for the quickest buck they can make.
Yeah,
releasing Aladdin 2 as a direct-to-video movie. It means when people are shopping through the video store and they see picking up Aladdin, they're like, oh, there's Aladdin 2. Let's get that as well.
Yeah, I think it's that plus, like, I think they just didn't want to, like, sully their name by, like, releasing sequels in the theater and just having, like, see, like, they seem to want, or used to anyway, want, like, original ideas.
Yeah.
So, like, having, like, this new movie, it's like, this is The Lion King or this is Hercules. Like, the new big releases were all, like, original ideas. So I think they just didn't want to, like, stoop to doing sequels. So they just, but they also weren't against making money. So they just shoveled them to video, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's just my idea anyway.
Well, Disney had this weird, they had like kind of a mini resurgence in the 90s where, you know, in the 80s.
Disney Renaissance.
Oh, there's actually a name for it.
Yeah, they have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, perfect. Well, we mentioned this once on a movie podcast we used to be on that's currently on hiatus. It's not dead. But in the 70s and 80s, Disney kind of had a weird turn where they had these movies that were mildly successful, but not really like Aristocats and the Robin Hood that I loved as a kid. But it was
I love that Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, but it was a bunch of weird animals like acting out Robin Hood and the Rescuers, Fox and the Hound, the Black Cauldron was the one that really kind of did them in for a while. Like that, I think that lost a lot of money for them. And finally, it's Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, finally kind of got them back in the 90s.
That was, yeah, starting with Little Mermaid, that was when they're making bank again.
Did Aladdin come before Beauty and the Beast?
It was after.
Yeah. I figured Beauty and the Beast was like one of the biggest ones. I actually got an Oscar nomination.
Yep. Beauty and the Beast was the first in 91, and then the next year they released Aladdin in November of 92.
Okay, but Little Mermaid was before that.
Yep.
Right.
89.
Okay. Got it.
Yep, and then you had Lion King. Of course, we all remember a Goofy movie.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be telling our grandkids about that. And Pocahontas was an oft-forgotten Disney classic, I guess. I don't know. I've never really seen it. So,
did you ever hear the wolf cry to the blue corn moon?
Is it corn?
Whatever that means.
I was horned. I've made even less sense.
I've asked him why he sings. I've don't heard about the beat of a mountain. Is that the thing? I don't know.
The whispers of the wind.
And also now Disney movies are back to being horrible. So unless they're done by Pixar. So
Disney is not back. Whoa.
Oh, they don't know what's happening.
You okay there?
Sorry, I was looking up the lyrics to the Blue Corn song, and it started auto-playing.
we'll really have to hit that hard when we do the Pocahontas show. I don't even know.
Do some prep work.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a game for Pocahontas. I'm sure I'll have to look it up after the show. If I really dig deep. But back to Aladdin. So Robin Williams, for the first movie, his salary and merchandising rights were a bit of an issue. He did the first film for scale, so he made $75,000 from it, which is not so great when the movie went on to gross $500 million. Hmm. So the third,
I think he did okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he did okay after that. The second movie famously had Homer Simpson as the genie.
Really?
Yeah, Homer Simpson. Dan Castellaneta.
Funny.
He was the voice. That did not it still did well, but everyone basically crapped all over him.
I feel like that's like his only other role. Like ever.
Besides Homer? Well, besides the Simpsons.
Not that I've looked it up, but
You are basically correct. Well, he's also been on Futurama.
Oh, shocking.
he played the robot devil, which actually is a pretty
good role. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a great role. Okay.
And he also does like a bunch of different voices on The Simpsons. He's not
Oh, well, yeah. Most of them do.
Oh, Yardley doesn't. But then again, she is so
distinctive. Oh, she's Lisa. Okay. Yeah, it's hard for her to do that. Well, I think Marge only does her other family members.
Yeah, pretty much. Her and Julie and Yardley. I always forget Yardley's full name, but
Smith?
Smith.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one to remember.
You remember the difficult part.
That was rough.
Well, I
didn't understand.
I always think Yardley is her last name. So
Sarah Yardley.
Yeah, that sounds more like a name than Yardley Smith.
He's getting her name fixed.
You've been hard working? No, Yardley.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
I cracked myself up with that one. By the way, even though there were two sequels to the original Aladdin, there were only two more Aladdin games ever released. One was a Game Gear game in 1994 that was based on the original. The other was a PlayStation game in 2001, which was well after the third movie came out. PlayStation game came and went without making an impact. It got average to okay to mediocre reviews.
It's called Nasira's Revenge.
I don't even know who Nasira that is.
I'm assuming it's a bad boy from the third direct-to-video movie or something like that. Or maybe from the TV show. It had a TV show, too.
Oh, yeah. The TV show was not bad. I like that. That was good stuff.
It does seem weird they released one in 2001. Just like...
Five.
Aladdin's still hot, guys.
You remember how they released that Home Alone game on the PlayStation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
It's probably similar to that.
I mean, Home Alone 3 was still fresh in everyone's minds.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was on the tip of the nation's tongue.
All
the youth of America were chanting, Home Alone, Home Alone.
Yeah, and there was a TV series. The TV series only ran to 1995, according to Wikipedia. Mm. The third movie came out in 1996. So the video game came out... it actually came out in Europe first, then North America, which is bizarre when that happens and normally not a good sign.
Here's my guess. The movie came out later in Europe. The game did well there because it was still somewhat closer. And because it did well, they decided to bring it here and it made even less sense.
I'm
full of theories tonight.
Let's see. The third Aladdin came out. I think it came out everywhere in 1996.
Okay, fine. What about, what about former Eastern Bloc countries? They get everything later.
They did not get a game release at all, according...
Well?
They simply did not get PlayStation's Aladdin.
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
don't
sorry.
Don't use facts against me.
I'm sorry for you, and I'm sorry for Russia.
Mm. Mm. Indeed.
So the Aladdin called Nasira's Revenge was developed by a British video game company called Argonaut Games, and they made a little video game we've talked about before called Star Fox.
Oh. This
very similar.
This would have been way after Star Fox. Those poor souls.
Really big dry spell there.
Yeah, well, this is Star Fox. Obviously, you put that out on the front door. I don't think you put Nasira's Revenge out there.
No, and look at a list of their other games. They pretty much are going to put Star Fox out in front. They have Croc, Legend of the Gobbos. They have Scooby Doo Mystery. Catwoman, the game based on the movie.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. We might. Did that come out in 2000?
2004.
Oh, thank God. We don't have to play it.
No.
And they've done some ports of Harry Potter games.
Hmm.
Oh, well, a series well known for its distinctive games, said no one.
The highest honor, yes. Porting a game based on a movie based on a book series.
The developer for the Genesis version is actually Virgin Interactive, which has a kind of a spottier record than Capcom. Yet they kind of, I'm kind of with Huel. I think I'd like the Genesis version a little bit more, even though it's not the one I grew up with.
Yeah, I agree as well. I did grow up with the Genesis version, and I agree that it is. It's more fun to play. It's a little bit more fluid,
mm-hmm.
gameplay-wise.
Now, I have a note here. Did the Super Nintendo version have the Abu and Genie bonus rounds?
Oh, it did not.
Ooh. Well, you missed out.
I didn't play deep enough into the Genesis version to find out, but does the Genesis version have Magic Carpet Ride bonus stages?
It does, yes.
Oh,
well, I don't know if they're bonus, but there is a whole level about it, right?
Yeah, there's a whole level where you're dodging rocks on your carpet.
Yep.
Oh, well,
because with the Abu and Genie bonus stages, you find their icons in the level, and then at the end you can play their things.
Abu.
So you can potentially do it after every level to collect more apples.
That's about the biggest similarity between the Genesis and SNES version is both of them have apples as projectile weapons.
Yeah, we didn't really mention this. Now the beginning of Aladdin the movie, he is a thief,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to steal
an apple.
He is so hungry he steals a loaf of bread just to eat, just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
and you sympathize with him. You're like, this guy just wants to eat. But in the game, there's just apples littered all over the city. You can just pick them up every 10 seconds, and yet he has to steal bread. So a little continuity error, I would say. They weren't really thinking there.
Well, I mean, apple doesn't have all the nutrients you need. You need to kind of balance your diet. You can't live on apples alone.
Yeah. It is bread is the foundation of the food pyramid, so you can't have fruit before.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was there a single apple in the movie?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was a strange.
I don't remember anything about apples.
In the movie? Take. Yeah, yeah, because Abu tries to steal an apple, I think.
That's true.
And then Aladdin.
Abu's not a naughty. He's a cheeky monkey.
He's a cheeky monkey.
Hey.
Oh, your nana.
Can't keep his hands to himself. He needs to, I think he tries to steal an apple, and then Aladdin tries to return it, but then they think he is stealing that apple, and they try to cut off his hand or something.
Thus, he is the thief.
Yes. Yeah. Although this,
they're vicious. The police are vicious over there. Maybe they do deserve to die. Maybe we should kill all pigs.
It's true.
Oh, geez.
I smell bacon.
This show has taken a turn.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice that an apple is just as deadly as a sword in said Bidgie game.
Yeah, well, in the Super Nintendo game, I was initially surprised with the Genesis version that they do kill people. Because in the Super Nintendo one, the apple just stuns bad guys, and then you have to jump on them or, like, swing. You can swing through them when you're swinging off of ledges. And
oh, yeah, you can give them a huge boot, knock them across the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that kind of makes sense. I guess in the Super Nintendo one, you have to get closer to actually hurt people. You have to jump on them.
Yeah.
So I guess stunning them actually has a purpose.
Or because they walk even slower than you do, you can just jump over them and run away.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo one I have beaten in the past. It doesn't even get really hard until you get to the Cave of Wonders, and the Magic Carpet ride portion is a little tough because the lava waves come after you, but that's about it. Then it's pretty easy until you get to Jafar. And I think that's one of those final boss fights from these games where it's two-tiered and you have to beat them on the same life bar, that kind of thing. So that's a little tough, but it's still manageable. It's definitely no Kid Icarus or any of the tough games that we've played.
This game, both of these Aladdin games are the perfect difficulty for a young video game player. Looking for a bit of a challenge in later levels, and seeing familiar characters and cartoonish graphics. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little romp for those kids.
Did a young Taito or Todd Jr. attempt this?
No, I think they're too young for this one. The older one is 5, and I think that's still
probably. As a child expert, I would agree.
Yeah.
Were they watching you play, or had they?
No, I play my video games at night. The daytime is for going outside and
exploring the mind, exploring nature.
Yeah, exploring the mind, exploring the body, and the soul. Nighttime is for
all three levels.
To strip nude and drink alcohol and play children's video games.
And talk about them on the internet.
Yes, and talk about on the internet, yeah.
I'm sure they're proud.
Yeah, I mean, that's a vivid image I can't get out of my head anytime soon.
But yeah, I think I did say in the beginning, I think it's just the right balance for a kid's game. Mm-hmm. It's well crafted.
Yeah. Oh, one aspect of a presentation that the Genesis version is better at is the Genesis version has a speech in it.
Like, does it?
Does it? Yeah.
There's little sounds like from the bad guys, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They kind of
right.
go stop thief and that kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, the guards, castle guards. They say, "Hey, stop."
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little thing.
Indeed, they do.
Apparently, I noticed the little things in life, and you guys are too busy actually getting further into the game than I was. So, I was just soaking in that scenery.
All that VO, you're a real stickler.
You know, I like a well presented game, just like a well presented Disney movie.
Mm.
So we talked about bats in the Genesis version. The Super Nintendo one also has bats, but they're just flying in the air, going back and forth along a set path. They're not going all over the screen like the Genesis ones. But the cool thing about the bats in the Super Nintendo one is that you can do a hand vault off of them in midair.
Oh,
you can jump on top of it, bounce off its head, and flip up even higher.
That's pretty awesome.
That's probably the coolest thing in the game when I was playing. It's like, what? Aladdin, you can defy physics.
Finally, a
good character.
Bat in the video game is useful.
Yeah. It was awesome. It blew my mind.
Blew mad, man.
You don't even have any of it left. It's all oozed out your ears.
Blowed out.
It's all blowed away.
Ooh. Surprised you're still here. Well, good for you. It's weird. This is actually a good game, so I do not have a ton more to say about it. It's unfortunate this game couldn't be more bad, because then I'd have more to say.
True. I mean, I do have that here. Like, the reputation for video games based off movies is usually that they're awful.
Mm-hmm.
But we've played a few now, and they're mostly pretty good. So we've done GoldenEye, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park, Super Star Wars, and this one.
Those two are, they're iffier.
But yeah. They're not like complete garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
Complete garbage.
And I do feel like we have avoided playing the absolute garbage games because of stuff like the Angry Video Game Nerd. And
look, I'm not saying they don't exist, but maybe the reputation is a little bit too far in one direction.
I suppose that's probably true, because for most genres, like if you just take like the top 10 action games, there's also like 100 more that are just bad. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's no license for Ultimate Stuntman. It's just a bad game.
Exactly.
But
exist everywhere.
Ultimate Stuntman is, I've mentioned Dizzy, the egg game that my aunt bought for me.
Of course.
Ultimate Stuntman was by the same company, and I believe she also got it for me off of QVC. Now that is a game. Not a good game. It is
a game.
It is, in fact, a programmed piece of software that exists for the NES.
Would you call it more of a simulation, a real-life simulation? Is this what stunt people used to train with?
You know, I don't think stuntmen would wander around just shooting enemies with, like, machine guns. Like, maybe they did in movies for, like, stunt purposes, but not for, like, real life. Like shoot and kill, which...
I don't know if you've ever seen Drive, but don't want to give anything away.
You know what? You know what the best part of the game was? The fact that it...
Albert Brooks.
No, the game, not the video game Drive. That
soundtrack.
Indeed.
Oh, Christina Hendricks.
Oh, that too.
Oh, she's in Drive. I haven't seen Drive.
Getting her head blowed off.
Yeah. Oh, spoiler.
Hey now.
Well, I guess I don't have to watch it now. Listen, Huel, it only came out like 4 years ago. I was just gonna get to it right after I get to Wolf of Wall Street, Interstellar, Premier, and. Premiere, whatever it's called.
Premiere.
Primer?
That's the...
Primer?
Premiere!
It said.
I don't know. Some movie that begins with a P, and I think it's about time travel or space
Primer travel. And or Primer.
Primer and or Primer, yeah.
Primer's going to be a hell of a movie. It's been on my PlayStation to watch for about 7 months now, but I'm going to get around to it.
Look, get some graph paper before you watch it.
Yep. Oh, perfect. And, well, the best part of Ultimate Stuntman is the fact that it is a gold cartridge for no apparent reason.
Ooh.
Oh, it's like Zelda.
Yep, and like Mickey. And like Micro Machines.
Perfect.
Gold means good, Zelda. Right?
It apparently either means great in the case of Zelda and Micro Machines, or absolute trash in the case of the other games. So
there's, it would be considered a good game.
Yep, there's no middle ground. So Aladdin did not come with a gold cartridge, unfortunately.
Mm.
It could have. It was good.
Yes.
Well, the other aspect is that this is it's a very good game. I don't think either one of these are great games.
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not making the top 10. It's not cracking that top 10 list now.
How many DuckTales would you give it?
I would give the Genesis one 0.75 DuckTales.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I would give the Super Nintendo one 0.65 DuckTales.
Seems fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I have no qualms with your ducktailing on that. So well,
it's hard to argue.
Yeah. Kjold, did you have anything else you wanted to add here about the old Aladdin, about old Fezhead?
I think that's about it.
All right. Brisket, how about you? Anything?
If you like movies about strapping, movies and games about strapping young men, just out in the world, making their way, with their cheeky monkey friends, then this one's for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is rather shirtless at times.
Oh, he's showing up. He's putting the goods on display.
You know, he put in a lot of swinging time. He's gonna show off them guns.
He's got a gymnast body.
Oh, definitely, yeah. In those billowy pants, that's how he can vault so high. Clearly. All right, well, I think it's time to move on to the email portion of the show. Todd, have you gotten any emails in your box this week?
I did. I got one. It says, "Dear," and I'm not sure what this is about, and I don't really know. It says, "Dear Miss Steven,
oh,
I found your company and kisses very appealing. I want to explore them further. Are you busy Monday night? Julian. P.S. What do you guys think of all those dancing games?"
Oh.
Well, I certainly do not agree with the first portion of that letter. But the second portion, I've played like Dance Dance Revolution in the arcade. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I put some time in on the old dancing machine in the arcade. Back in the day, back in the college days. Recently, I bought a Kinect for my Xbox.
And I got a 360 or Xbox One?
Xbox 360.
360.
I bought a Kinect used. When it first came out, I had no interest in getting that kind of thing. I'm like, I just use my controller.
And like a man.
Like a man.
Bashing buttons, working them sticks.
And so, but now that my kids are a little bit older, they're trying to get into games, and they're like, "Oh, Daddy, play Wii. Let's play Wii." He's like, let's play Xbox. And I bought a used Kinect for $25. I got a Just Dance 2014 for $15. And we put that baby on, and man, I was hitting the dance floor like nobody else. It's like Michael Jackson reboot.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a lot of fun. Gotta say, gotta admit, you know, it's a lot of fun. Quite a workout. Gets your heart pumping, the sweat dripping off my brow. And
toes tapping.
I was making poses, doing moves, and getting them points, getting the perfect rating on my dance. I did a Lady Gaga song today, and I got 5 stars, guys. You hear that? 5 stars. I hit all the poses, did all the pliés. I did it all, man.
I wish you warned me that I'd be on with such greatness today.
Mm-hmm.
This is
taking when I see those guys on that So You Think You Can Dance show, I'm like, look at those guys. They spent, you know, 15 years working their art.
That's a long time.
And here I am just picking up this game a couple days ago, and I can do the same stuff.
5 minutes in.
Yeah.
You're nailing it. You're 5-starring it.
I didn't know I was on the show with Todd Two Step Brisket.
Give him the old soft shoe.
I have played the Wii version of Just Dance. I don't know what year it was or anything. I was horrible at it. I can't dance in real life really, so didn't surprise me that I was also bad at this game. But unlike Guitar Hero, where I could not play a guitar at all in real life, but I can play Guitar Hero okay-ish. Like, Just Dance, nope. Did not get better after, like, multiple efforts. Mm. So, I just got no rhythm, man.
Well, as a master of rhythm myself, I'm pretty good at the motion control dance games. Oh. I tried both Kinect versions and Wii versions, and
yeah,
seemed to destroy the competition, so...
We might
sounds like a challenge has arisen.
Yeah,
from Ooh. One Todd Brisket.
Can you two, Huel? Do you have the old Xbox?
I do, but I don't have Just Dance for such. I guess we could play online, couldn't we?
You could go head to head.
If I got the same version, YPB Face Off.
I could watch.
We'll have to try to work this out.
This will be the showdown of. The century.
The cinch.
Dancing is back.
Ooh. I don't know if anyone heard.
Yep. It's gone. It's gone for a little bit.
That might, that just might have to happen.
Oh, this will be impressive. It'll be a proud day for all of us. Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact. And one of them, as in the only one, is from ScooterBot42.
Oh, yeah.
So they write, "Hello, YPB. Boy, what a whirlwind holidays I had. I hope the new year is treating you well. What's treating me well is people throwing out their old Christmas trees. Last week I found one on the curb that still had some candy canes hanging on it. I managed to gather a few before the man of the house burst out the door and chased me off. I had to make a speedy run for it. Running. Speed. Running. Hey, that reminds me. What do you think of speedruns in video games? And have you ever tried to do one? Sincerely, ScooterButt42.
It's
quite the segue, I must say.
That's a good ask.
It's a great ask.
Yeah.
Anyone watch them or find any interest in them at all?
I really only watch them for research on this show. For example,
that is true, yeah.
When we did Shadowrun last week, you know, there's no way I'm getting anywhere close to finishing that game. And I just kind of want to see what's going on in the story further on down the line.
Yeah.
So I watched a speed run for that one. I don't really watch them otherwise unless there's a new story that comes up that says, oh, a new hack has broken the world record of Mario. So
that does seem to be the whole point, is just finding hacks and cheats.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have two kinds now, which is one, like playing the game normally, which I always find those way more interesting than the other kind that you're mentioning, Huel, which is like, oh, we beat Legend of Zelda Link to the Past because there's a bug that lets you skip like 8 of the dungeons and just go straight to the Dark World.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, that's boring. Like, I don't even mind if they use save states on like the to go through the entire game, but I want to see like this game played perfect. I want to
Yeah.
Yeah. What is a perfect game?
That is an accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. Like I, for games, you know, when the speedrun thing, I feel like it really took off. Like, I don't know. I want to say I was at the tail end of college, so like 2007. Oh, good Lord. Almost 10 years ago at this point. Like I remember watching some of those in like the house I was renting at the time. And like, it was this new thing and it's like, oh wow, this person beat Super Mario Brothers 3 in like 25 minutes. And it's like, wow, this is incredible. I can't believe they're doing this, even if it's with, you know, save states and tools. So
yeah, like emulators.
Yeah, yeah. So I checked out some of the classic games, and now it's really only interesting to me if it's like RPGs are sometimes interesting, where it's like, wow, someone beat Chrono Trigger in like 2.5 hours. How do they even do that?
Yeah. Without hacks.
Putting the speed in speedrun there.
Yeah, and I think there's one that beats Final Fantasy VII in like 7 or 8 hours, which is ridiculous. It basically means they don't stop for any battles. I think they run from like everything, and then they use some weird strategies to beat like all of the late game bosses. So
to even level up.
No, I think they get up to like level 15 or 20 just because of the, like, there's some mandatory fights you have to take, but that's about it.
True.
So it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
As for Scooty's second question, have you ever tried to do one? My freshman year or sophomore year, I don't remember, in college, I was in the dorms. And one of the rooms on my hall, a bunch of people would keep doing GoldenEye speedruns.
Oh, we did the same thing.
Oh, really? Yeah, they were super into it. They knew all the people on like the message boards and websites that would do them, and it was kind of an honor system. Like, some people would record them, I think, just to, like, that's where we like picked up different tricks and stuff. But it got very competitive, and I think a lot of people might have been a little too distracted by them. Like, it got intense. Like, I think I picked one level to do, or at least try to do, and I think it was Facility, just because it was short.
Yeah.
But just the chain of events and chain of motions you have to do is just ridiculous. It takes like the most concentration.
So that
was fun times.
That's why your friend Hot Dog failed out of college.
My friend Hot Dog. Yes, exactly. old Broccoli Rob there.
my buddies and I, like, you know, we were psycho about GoldenEye anyway. We didn't go on message boards to see other people's times, but but yeah, like, there, it was known, like, you know, we each had the save file on there, and it's like, oh, this is my best time for the Facility. What's yours?
Oh, that is true. They were actually timed, and I think that's what, like, they would show you the time at the end of the screen. So I think that was like a big factor.
Yeah, and it would save what your best one was.
So I guess that is how you would prove it to people.
Yeah, because that's how you unlocked some of the cheats and characters and whatnot.
Yeah, some of the harder ones.
Yeah, you had to beat the level and do the objectives in a certain amount of time. Like a true 007 agent would, of course.
Exactly. Super efficient. Mm-hmm. The utmost efficiency.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Now, I've never really done a speed run outside of games where you are meant to beat them fast, like Mario Kart.
Mario, indeed. Yeah.
Yes, Mario Kart, I guess, could quantify as a speedrun.
Yeah, you can consider that entire game a speedrun.
I mean, they did have time trials, I think, in the N64 one and maybe later, so those were always fun. I think I tried to get some good times on those.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
That's about it. That was more of a local competitive thing than
that was like, more,
international competition.
That was more pushing yourself, getting the reps in.
Push it to the limit.
Well, I received one email this week. Hey guys, DJ mentioned Maniac Mansion last week, and I hope you guys cover it in the future. How do you like modern interactive fiction games like Heavy Rain? Sincerely, Ellen Page.
Yeah. Interesting.
It does not mention if she is the Ellen Page from Beyond Two Souls, which I... Yeah.
Famously from Beyond Two Souls.
Her yes. most known work, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But we can only assume it has to be her.
Well, it's definitely Beyond Two Souls that she is famous for, and The Last of Us.
That's true. She's in that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was the old man.
Yeah, she played Joel, yes.
Yes. She is, it's not her, but it is her, clearly, in that game. The Last of Us.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you're actually trying to joke here, but no, it is not her.
She did sue over the matter because she said it's essentially her.
I think it's because she was doing the other game, they had to like change it because they were coming out like at a similar times.
Yes. That yeah. You know, they are completely separate, except that one is named Ellie and one is named Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both petite brunettes that are white.
Completely different.
Yes, but outside of
they're
that...
Lesbian, right?
Well, Ellie in The Last of Us is like 15, so...
So are you saying that you cannot make a choice?
The choice of...
about your preference?
Let's backtrack.
15 years old.
It doesn't really come up in the zombie apocalypse for some reason. Or sexual identity. She's just anti-zombie.
The choice that she makes. That's not one of the quick time events.
Yeah, I think it's level 3.
No.
Once you get out of the main city.
Maybe that's in Beyond Two Souls, but it's definitely not in The Last of Us, and it's not in Heavy Rain. Oh, so,
unfortunate.
Have you guys ever played that Heavy Rain there?
No, it looked really boring.
Yeah, it looked boring. I haven't played that Heavy Rain, no.
I played. It was actually like after Mass Effect 2, it was like the second game I ever played for the PS3. It may have been the third one. I may have played what's that? Inhuman? Is that the game where you're Cole and you're throwing lightning bolts at people?
Something sure. like that.
I don't know. It's like Sony's. It's the Sony's exclusive series that they try to keep making happen.
Yeah, you get like some superpowers and you'd be good or bad or something.
Yeah. I played it. And it's like it was okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. But no, Heavy Rain was kind of a neat little interactive movie-type game.
Now, would the Telltale series of games, such as Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, fall under this category?
Oh, I think they would definitely count.
Ah.
Those are like...
Well, in that case, yeah, I did play both of the Walking Dead seasons, and I enjoyed them very much.
Oh, I haven't played season 2 yet. Is it worth a... I did enjoy the...
Yeah, sure.
I like
it's worth it. It's not as good as the first one.
Not as good as the first, yeah.
Still
I've
worth
played,
the play.
I've played many a Telltale by this point, and Walking Dead Season 1 is definitely the best out of all of these.
It blew my freaking mind, man. Yeah.
And Season 2 is probably the next best out of all these games.
Uh-oh.
But, I mean, there's still, I mean, it's kind of a game. I put them on just to relax and watch a story unfold, not to really, strain my brain or anything.
It's, yeah, I think, what did you call them, Steve? The interactive story games? Or emailer, sorry. What did they call them?
I think they're called interactive fiction games.
Right, yeah, it's more of like a story. It's an interactive story. It's not really like... You're doing much.
Well, we did. Didn't Dell asked about this last time, or he got an email about it, right?
Who was that?
He's talking about Her Story, which is another kind of game, which is actually a full motion video where you kind of make choices.
Oh, yes.
It's the latest indie darling on the internet.
I saw that, and I figured that would appeal to people who liked who really liked murder porn, but. I have not gotten into that yet.
Yeah, I haven't really looked into it.
I mean, I've heard really good things about that, and I've heard really good things about Undertale. Is that the name of that?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. That's more of an RPG.
That's a straight up RPG.
That is the indie darling of the year for 2000.
Oh, I know. If anyone follows the Game Facts polls, it was quite the controversy.
It's an RPG, but you don't have to fight anybody. You can just talk.
It was recently voted the most best game of all time on Game Facts. And it came out 3 months ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, sorry, 2 months ago.
Oh, my God. It's gonna look silly in hindsight, like Crash getting that Oscar. We're all going to be like, what were we thinking?
But Steve, all their stories intertwined.
Well, who has ever done
who
that?
No,
besides every Quentin Tarantino movie.
He just ripped off Seinfeld.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, that is true. Quentin Tarantino and Seinfeld are horrors of different types. Jerry had like 50 girlfriends on that show. That guy's getting around.
That's before Tinder.
Yeah, he's putting his work in. And not like these fives and sixes either, like Terry Hatcher.
Well, you know the appeal of stand-up comedy in the 90s. I mean, who could stay away?
What's the deal with stand-up comics?
I love cereal. Not just the podcast.
What's the deal with footy pajamas? Who wears these? Well, I hope the emailer really liked
dead me. dead on impression.
Well, I think we're about set here with our impressions.
Yes, wrapping up impression chat.
Your parents' stand up club.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh, take my wife, please. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add here before we signed off?
All this for a loaf of bread?
Brisket, what about you?
Hold your breath, it gets better.
is that from Seinfeld or one of your Lady Gaga songs?
It's from a little classic tune called A Whole New World.
Oh, I've heard of that one. It was the background music for like 15 stages in these various games. So, all right. On that note, here's a little snifferoo from the PC game we will be playing for next show.